Hello, this is Christy Allen, and I'm joined here today with Pastor Joe Patterson.
Pastor Christy, how are you today?
I'm excellent. Welcome to the podcast. We are excited today. We are going to talk about Holy Week, which is one of our things we enjoy talking about.
Oh, absolutely.
And we want to invite you to explore with us, as we love to do here on the podcast, kind of bringing new life into things that maybe have gotten old and stodgy, or maybe we never understood them from the get-go, and just to help us bring new understanding to what Holy Week even is and why we should lean in and what that's all about. So that's going to be our conversation for today. And so we are in the season of Lent. We've been talking about Lent, which started on Ash Wednesday, the 40 days leading up to Easter. And so now, how crazy, we are on the heels of Holy Week. So Joe, lead us through like what marks the beginning of Holy Week, and then we'll kind of talk through the days, I guess. So maybe we'll start there.
Absolutely. Well, Holy Week comes from historical ancient kind of understanding through the life of the church from the beginnings of the church of the final week of the life of Jesus. So if we think in terms of days, it's 8 days in terms of the way we look at a calendar. And scripture is clear on some things and maybe a little bit nebulous on some other things, but we do get a picture of this kind of 8-day journey that the life of Jesus takes prior to the day he was resurrected. So this flow starts on a Sunday in which he is just welcomed, and it's considered the triumphal entry, where he comes into Jerusalem riding on the back of a donkey that he's asked his disciples to go get for him, and they don't understand why, but they go get it anyway, and he gets it, and they come in, and historically we celebrate that by the waving of palm branches, which historically, it is believed that those were waved as he came in as a way of shouting praise and sharing adoration for Jesus and who he was. And the kind of crazy part of this 8-day journey is, and the hard part about this story is how an excited crowd can become an angry mob so very quickly.
Yes, a lot that can happen in a week's time.
You know, we think about a week as just a momentary just blip on our screen a lot of times. And you know, not to make light of any potential hard places that we've been in our life that we have things just happen in a flash and change our life, you know, because those
we've
realities.
We've all seen that,
We've seen that happen. Mm-hmm. Many of us listening have had that happen to us. And so this is what makes this story very human, in a sense that they're very human people, human forces going on, and heavenly forces going on concurrently in this story. And they all play out in this narrative together in a real, real interesting and fascinating way.
I love how you layered that, Joe, just as you were talking about that, because I think in our lives, we forget about the spiritual aspects of what's happening in our lives, too. And I was having a conversation with a friend of mine earlier this morning about how we can forget that God is already at work, that he's already with us, that he's already ahead of us, you know, and so when we're in the midst of our stuff, it's so easy to get wrapped up in that and forget there's a whole nother part of life, and that God is present in all of that. So that layering of the spiritual forces and the very earthly, and certainly in our time, in Jesus' time, throughout human history, there's political forces, there's just human emotion, there's groupthink, there's all these things going on that we have all experienced or seen play out time and time and time and time again over history. And so for us to enter that story, if we think about that, and I love that you said it's human. It's, you know, Jesus experienced human experience and shows us in a very real way what that looks like. And so for us to step into the story that way and come at it that way, I love that you said that. And I think if we keep that tension in mind as we approach Holy Week, maybe we can find some new meaning in that, moving forward, moving into Eastertide as we go then past Easter, being reminded of the power of resurrection.
Yes.
I just think that's, you know, and I was, as we were talking earlier, I was thinking about how Jesus knew what was coming.
Yeah.
Did his level best to even explain it to the disciples, in a way. And we read it also in scripture of what was coming, but to even think of him knowing that and going through all of that anyway, and knowing what each day would bring, and being intentional about his actions and his modeling for us, relationship with God, relationship with each other, and all of that together. It's interesting to me.
Well, you know, just even before you just said that, it just struck me as, you know, when he lays his head down to go to sleep, that Sunday night, you know, after hearing the applause of people entering Jerusalem, you know, he already know. I mean, he knows that this story is going to take a turn.
Yes.
And he recognizes, and is likely in you know, he's God, he's human, and so it's like his human part is likely beginning or is already in the process of grieving,
mm-hmm.
you know, what's
spirit
about
is heavy.
To
yeah.
very heaviness
yeah, yeah.
of what he's about to encounter, and he's already, you know, carrying the load mm-hmm. of what and understands the meaningfulness of what's about to happen.
Yeah.
May even be a level of frustrated.
Yeah.
You know, that you know, as he's attempting to continue to teach his disciples and those his followers around, they still don't get it. They still mm-hmm. don't understand. And you know, one of his best friends is about to betray him, and you know, he's not guilty, but they find him guilty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's gonna be a hard place.
Yeah. And I think as you were saying that, I think about all the emotions he would have experienced, and how often we forget how real that is,
yeah.
and that he knows what we feel like. How many times we've had friends betray us,
yeah.
or people that we're very, very close to.
Absolutely.
We have times where we feel like we're on top of the world one day and at the bottom of the heap
yeah.
a few short days later. But he also models for us his willingness to follow
yeah.
and do God's will,
his divine
yeah. part, that
yeah.
but also that he goes to the Father,
yeah.
you know, and we see that kind of play out, you know, later in the week, you know, where he goes to pray, which again shows us that's what we should do. Yeah. You know, this week is just filled with so much. I mean, we could probably do this in a 5-part series,
yes.
or what, or
yes.
an 8-day series, you know,
yes.
if we wanted to, because there's so much behind even Palm Sunday, as you were talking about it, history of the day, how that's what they would do for returning kings coming back from battle, you know, on there, and it would have been a big battle horse, and they would have, you know, been excited that they came back triumphant from winning the battle,
right.
you know. So all this imagery that's kind of lost on us because we don't have that these days, and that wouldn't be something that means anything to us. But I think we can all wrap our heads around, oh, being on top one day, like, yes, I'm top of my game or had a, you know, whatever that looks like in your context of your life. We've all had that day.
Right.
And here is Jesus being accepted and praised and whatever on that day. And then how it changes from then on out. But, so going through the rest of the week, that's Palm Sunday. So that starts off our week. Some of the days we don't really officially do anything at church, but I think if we follow the story through scripture, which we would like to invite you to do, those of you who are listening, and we'll, talk you through what we're going to do here on the podcast for Holy Week,
right.
As a way to give you opportunity to lean in that week. But so Monday would have been the day he would have been in the temple.
Right.
And so that's the day that he clears out the temple. He gets very upset. You know, he sees the money changers and just, you know, a lot going on there.
Yeah.
Which again kind of sets us up for this shift of what's happening that week. And then Tuesday, you know, he does some preaching on the Mount of Olives. And then Wednesday, so when we get to Wednesday now, we kind of feel like we're getting a little closer to what's happening.
And Wednesday, let me interrupt for just a moment.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
This gives, when we get to Wednesday, it appears that this is where the allure and the sensitivity of this week really, really offers its possibility to us individually, because what we start seeing are things that Jesus did intentionally for us.
Yes.
For us. Mm-hmm. You know, we see him go to the garden and pray to, you know, heavily burdened, pray to God. But then, as it says in John 17, pray for us.
Yes, very specifically.
Pray specifically for us to have unity, for us to be one with each other and one with him as he is with his father.
Yes.
And that, I mean, that in itself, and then, you know, then we also have, you know, that, you know, we do have the Lord's Supper, which, you know, gives us this opportunity to remember, you know, and we have foot washing, which gives us another opportunity to be, like we're going to talk about here in a second. But it's just honestly, those are the things, those are the meaningful acts of our Savior that draw us to setting aside time during this time. This is the reason why people in some cultures just shut it down for this entire week. They shut it down. They don't go to work. In some cultures, they lean into the story, and, you know, and some, for some, that's just not reasonable. I mean, we recognize that, but that, I say that to recognize just how the potential power that is in this week for each of us individually as followers of the way of Jesus Christ, because of what he did this week for us.
That's right. And I think that's what we're trying to say today, is leaning into this story and putting ourselves there.
Yes.
Can open up those possibilities and remind us of the full power and potential of that.
Yes.
And so as we were getting ready to talk today, and we were both just kind of making notes and figuring out, you know, where to take our conversation. And I just, as many times as I've looked it up, I confess to you, you know, we call Thursday Maundy Thursday. We've all heard it. So we have Palm Sunday. We all know the names of the days, but when we get there, sometimes we're like, okay, well, that's an old word. Whatever, I just know that's what it's called. And so when I looked it up, it just smacked me in the face. It's mandatum. So to mandate, to command. And of course, this is when Jesus is washing the disciples' feet and shows them in a very real way, this is what I'm asking of you. A new command, a new mandate I give you. To love one another as I have loved you. And this is just the beginning. Like, we haven't even gotten to the cross yet. We haven't even gotten to the garden yet. Yeah. We're still in the upper room having Passover, celebrating the Passover, mm-hmm. which again is full of rich imagery and tradition and meaning if we delve into to what they were celebrating. And then with the, him bringing the Lord's Supper to us in that moment. But just this idea of what love looks like, and lowering himself to do something that the lowliest servant would do, wash your crusty, nasty, dirty feet after walking through the streets of Jerusalem, would have been somebody else's job to do, a servant's place to do. And here Jesus is doing that. But to think of a new command, like, I'm showing you what the power and potential of this love is. You know, not only am I demonstrating it to you and doing this for you, but I'm inviting you to do this too. And how beautiful that is. Because you were talking about how that love can look for us today and how we can step into that. So talk about that a little bit, because I thought that was, you know, really something that we were talking about, how on Monday, Thursday, in many of our church services, we focus on the Last Supper and communion. And then many places will have a foot washing, and we'll talk about, I mean, obviously that's a high point of that scripture, but we miss this mandate. We miss this command.
It's really, you know, everybody, sometimes if we're not careful, we forget that the whole thing started with, you know, in that culture, in biblical times, you're entering someone's house, you know, you took your shoes off, mm-hmm. you know, and of course, you know, people were not, you know, wearing kicks around, you know, Nikes and
their socks, you know, and shoes,
you know,
on.
This wasn't those, it was,
or on a rainy day, their rain boots or duck shoes.
No, no, we're not talking about, you know, the Sperry's that we just kick off, you know, after we're talking about, you know, sandals. We're talking about, you know, thongs, you know, those types mm-hmm. of things. Mm-hmm. Just basically some piece of material attached to the bottom of your foot to protect, you know, from things that we don't know. We, you know, this is very rural. It's dirty. It's muddy if it's rain. I mean, there's just no telling what is involved and what might be on your feet when you enter someone's home. Mm-hmm. And it was respectful to enter someone's home and wash your feet, your own feet.
Right.
So it's as a way of you respecting the person's home that you were entering mm-hmm. to clean yourself. And so there's something specific about Jesus inviting his friends to a dinner and saying, hold on here. You come through the door, just have a seat. Mm-hmm. I'm about to do something for you. And in that moment, you know, that's a change. That's the all things new moment.
But yeah, you're right.
You know,
this is like, wait.
I'm about to do something totally audacious mm-hmm. here, something totally mm-hmm. different than you, my disciples, are expecting, that you are accustomed to, mm-hmm. that your life is going to be changed in this moment. And so what you were talking about earlier is this, the scripture actually says, I command you mm-hmm. now that I have washed your feet, go and do the same for one another and for others. Mm-hmm. So it's like, Jesus is imprinting it upon his disciples and upon us through that scripture, a commandment that we are supposed to do. And this happens even before the Lord's Supper happens.
Before anything has happened. And when you said this is where the turn happens, and I was thinking about, they had been together 3 years. They've had Passover before.
Yes.
Which I didn't think about till just now.
Yep.
But when you said, oh no, wait a minute, fellas, a new thing is happening. That's the beginning of, I'm really, no, really, this is the new thing.
Yeah.
this is it right here. Yeah. This is the new thing. It starts now.
Yeah.
Before any of that happened. So, as we like to do here, Joe,
yeah,
flip these things that we've thought about before, but in a new way and bring fresh eyes to it. That's powerful.
Yeah.
That is so powerful. And that we are invited to be the tide turner, the
right,
page turner, the flip it upside down.
Right.
That he asks us to do that. That if we're part of this deal and we have been loved in this way, to share that love. But in such a, because that would have been like you said, that was a daily thing. That
yeah,
was an ordinary thing.
Yeah.
That wasn't just because we're having a dinner party.
Yeah.
This is what we do every day,
yeah,
is wash our feet, because yeah, that's just what we do.
Yeah.
So to me, then the new idea I got was that's a daily ask, not yeah, just a, once in a while thing, but that was in part of their day to day. And we've talked about this before, I think, about the Lord's Supper, communion, how Jesus picked every day. It was bread and wine that they would have had every day for a meal.
Right.
So if you thought about that, like every time I eat bread, I remember Jesus. I remember that he's with me. That would have been not just on Sunday.
Yeah, it's basic how...
Or once a month.
he connects our sustenance that we need to his likeness.
Yes.
This is my body.
Mm-hmm.
This is my blood. And it's just like, before that moment, those disciples had no other context for what that little piece of, at that, during that culture, whatever that was, it was like that very
unleavened bread, a pita bread or something.
Pita bread, whatever that might have meant to them,
mm-hmm,
had completely new meaning
yeah,
in the snap of a finger.
In that day. And I was thinking about how we started the conversation. You were talking about that layering of the spiritual and the worldly together.
Yeah.
And how in this day, these two acts of Jesus on Maundy Thursday is exactly that layering of, no, I want to be part, this is part of life. Life is supposed to be all of that together.
Right.
Like your human experience, but with me.
Right.
And anyway, yeah, that's what he's trying to get at. And I think we get so caught up in our day to day. And as we talk about here on the podcast about just even prayer, how we can kind of lose track of that or what the words mean or how to even do it. And we get hung up on all of these things when it's really, that's all he's inviting us to is life together,
mm-hmm,
life with him and life with each other, in that love.
In the same vein, we so quickly are so, because of just how incredibly awful, someone dying on a cross, and then just how miraculous, after that death, after someone's buried behind a rock the size of, a house,
yeah,
that requires three or four people to move into place, 3 days later is no longer there.
Mm-hmm.
Those things grab our attention.
Sure.
Those things are the things that most require our value, and they're valuable.
Sure.
No doubt.
Sure.
But I think what we would want to encourage listeners to today to is a recognition of all of it.
Yeah. The whole week.
The whole thing holds great, great value. From him asking his disciples to get him a donkey, not a regalia.
Just anyone.
Not a couple posts to lift him up and put them on his shoulders to walk,
yeah,
a donkey, which yeah, was intentionally selected for means of humility.
Mm-hmm.
And, I don't really care how much applause you're going to give me here. I still know who I am.
Right.
And I still know what I got to do. Mm-hmm. And he was able to put himself in that place.
Yeah.
And so, and he never left that place during this week.
Right. Yeah.
Never did.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Wow. Well, I feel like that may be a good place for us to kind of wrap up with just that image and that thought of this week and the intentionality that Jesus had every day. And so we want to invite you who are listening to let's be intentional next week.
Yeah.
Let's lean in to the week as much as we can. Every day next week on the podcast, Joe, we're going to offer a prayer.
Absolutely.
And a meditation that will center around these movements during the week. Mm-hmm. That we hope will invite you to just put yourself in the story and we are that story. We are all part of that story of God and the truth of that relationship. And so, we look forward to next week and we hope that you will join us. We will have a podcast for you every day. Not just on, our one day a week, but we will have one every day for the week of Holy Week. And so we hope you'll join us in that and that you will take advantage of that. And of course you can revisit them anytime. If you miss a day, don't worry about it. They will be on their archives, so you can go back if you had to skip a day and because you're not used to us being on every day. But we really are excited about that and hope that you will join us. And in the meantime, know that we are praying for you and with you. And may you know the incredible love of God as we look towards how very much he loved us through his son, Jesus. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.